Our nation's birth certificate, that is the Declaration of Independence, says that the Creator has endowed us with inalienable rights, and among these are the right to life. But abortion is at war with the right to life. Now, the left used to say that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. But just recently, the governor of Massachusetts signed into law legislation that would allow a baby to be aborted up to the very moment of birth. How is that not infanticide? And apparently, Massachusetts is one of 10 states with the same type of policy. Claire Ath is the senior policy analyst for the pro-life group Human Coalition. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and this is Vocal Point, and Claire joined us to discuss this issue. Claire, thank you so much for joining us again.
Yeah, not a problem. Thank you for having me on, Jerry.
Sure. This policy just sounds so radical. How could that be? Abortion up to the moment of birth?
No, this policy is completely radical. And I just want for your listeners to understand a reference. It's officially been 1 week that this policy has been in effect. So it was on August 10th that Massachusetts became the 10th state that is allowing this radical, unlimited, whenever you want it, abortion. And previously, I will say abortions were already pretty extreme in Massachusetts. Prior to this, they had a 24-week limit. So they said 24 weeks, and then after 24 weeks, life of the mother or these like limited circumstances. But now they're just saying no circumstances, whenever you want it. And it is just heartbreaking because I just keep seeing these photos circulate on social media of babies that are 24 weeks and born and they're in NICU and survive in 30 weeks and 35 weeks. But at the end of the day, life is valuable from the moment of conception, but it is just so gruesome and dark to think that there are individuals who will cheer the ending of a life.
Okay, when you mentioned cheering the ending of a life, the signing party, in other words, when the governor was signing the bill, she was surrounded by all these different women, and they looked like, you know, she had just signed into law, women have the vote.
You're exactly right. They were gleeful and cheering and smiling over signing unlimited abortion into Massachusetts law. And something I'd love your listeners to really understand is that sometimes, I'm not saying it's a case for the women who are in that photo and in that room, but sometimes there are women who think life of the mother and they hear this term that, you know, we need late-term abortion or up until 9 months. Because a mom may have a serious condition where you need to abort the baby. But I have spoken with countless pro-life doctors, and that is simply not the case. There is never a reason that a woman would need to have an abortion. And I mean, logically, it just makes sense. For those who don't know, a late-term abortion is a multi-day procedure. It takes at minimum 2, sometimes up to 4 days, because they have to administer a drug that will end the life of the baby, dismember in the womb, induce labor. It's a whole process. So if you have a mom who is high risk, who has preeclampsia, or has a serious life-threatening condition happening, a good doctor is going to order an emergency C-section and deliver that baby. So abortion is not what that mom needs. It's an emergency delivery.
This is amazing. How are these abortions going to be done? You've already kind of alluded to some of them, I guess.
Yes, so that is the really, really heartbreaking thing about all of this is that late-term abortions, they are gruesome. It does require dismemberment of the baby in the womb. And this is something that I'm actually 8 months pregnant myself right now, and it just makes my stomach churn to think that there are people who would do something like this. And I'm also going to be honest that there are also women that don't understand all of their options and don't understand life-affirming care that's available for their babies. And because a lot of times you'll hear about children who have, we call it life-limiting conditions. So they may have something like anencephaly where their brain isn't developing. So some doctors may tell you, you know, you should abort that baby. But That is not what you should do. You should never intentionally end the life of that child. There's great something called perinatal hospice, where you can give birth to your child, spend as much time as they have on this earth with them, and have a moment of closure and a moment to celebrate their life rather than purposefully bring about their death.
One article from Fox News says this: under the Prioritizing Patient Access to Care Act, healthcare workers will have greater discretion in determining whether to perform an abortion later in pregnancy without facing legal penalties under the state's previous restrictions. Healy, that is the governor of Massachusetts, said the law is intended to ensure families facing medical complications late in pregnancy that they can abort their babies in Massachusetts rather than having to travel out of state. Those complications can include maternal health complications and fatal diagnoses. Would you like to say any comment about that portion of the article?
Yeah, no, on that, I would just reiterate that in the case of maternal health complications, there is simply no reason to get an abortion. I'd say that is something that the abortion lobby likes to use a lot, is that term, life of the mother. But it is the emergency deliveries that are what's needed. And in the case of these babies who have severe fetal complications, those are very heartbreaking situations, but one that I would argue you shouldn't want to offer more suffering into that situation and purposely go in and have to dismember and end the life of that child. But something that I am just starting to see really across the board is states are really dividing on this issue and becoming black and white, whether they're pro-abortion and they're going all 9 months, or pro-life, and they are from the moment of conception and heartbeat bills. But I would say, looking at kind of our national landscape right now, one of my biggest concerns is the state of Virginia. This fall in November is going to have a ballot initiative to enshrine. So what they've done in Massachusetts, the no restrictions all 9 months, that's a law. It's not a constitutional right in Massachusetts yet. But in Virginia, they want to enshrine that in the Constitution and call it your reproductive freedom, and that this is a right everybody's going to have forever. So I am very concerned. I know that the abortion lobby throws a lot of money into these ballot initiatives, trying to confuse people and say it's necessary health care. But I am very hopeful and prayerful that the people of Virginia see through it.
You know, it's interesting. Okay, this radio station is housed in Fort Lauderdale. And so in 2024 in Florida, we had that kind of ballot initiative. Thankfully, I don't know when this happened, but thankfully the policy was made in Florida that such an initiative on the ballot has to be approved by 60% of the voters. So you can't just, you know, make these changes willy-nilly. And because of that, that Amendment 4 went down in flames. And also there was a marijuana-type amendment that also went down in flames. But if it had been just a 50% threshold, both of those measures would have passed. So it's scary what's happening. It's as if this country is becoming pro-abortion, you know, in a very relatively short time. And here Roe v. Wade was just overturned a few years ago.
I know. It can get discouraging when you look at those numbers, and abortion has just been ticking up and up since the Dobbs decision. And that is why I believe now more than ever we need action from the federal government on things like the Comstock Act, because there really is no reason we should be sending these chemical abortion pills in the mail.
Tell us about the Comstock Act. That's from the 1800s or something?
Yes. So it is federal law, and it is something that we should have to be following because Congress passed it, but saying that you cannot send through the Postal Service anything that will procure or perform an abortion. And this is a codified law. But what we are really seeing across the board is that we have some good pro-life laws already on the books, but we don't have that enforcement. So I'm just always a big advocate that we need to start off by enforcing the laws we already have. And I think something like Comstock, if we saw the federal government and the Department of Justice hold these abortionists accountable who are writing the prescriptions out of state, and then the pharmaceutical companies that are just mailing these drugs willy-nilly, we would start to see the numbers of abortions tick back down. Because it's just crazy to me to think this was the radical Biden administration who made mail order abortion a thing. This was not a thing 5-6 years ago. It's brand new. They used it saying that it's COVID. People don't have access to their traditional health care, so we have to be able to mail these pills in the mail. And it was an emergency order. But COVID, as I'm sure you know, is long over, arguably. I don't know if it was ever really here. But that's done. And yet the abortion pills are still in the mail.
You know, one of the things that just is so distressing about the whole pro-abortion movement is that babies are fantastic, and babies are, you know, how the human race goes forward. And yet there's this sort of this concerted push to dehumanize the babies while they're in the womb. It's almost as if there's this huge double standard. So this baby in Massachusetts can be 9 months to the day, and if that baby, let's say, pops out and is there on the floor or something like that, you know, or is caught, hopefully, that baby is still alive. It's a baby, and it should be, he or she should be wanted. I just don't get it. How have we so dehumanized babies?
That's a great question. And I think really brings us to kind of the bigger question of when do human rights begin? And, you know, where do we get our human dignity? And that's one of the biggest problems in our current culture, is they seem to tie our dignity and our worth to whether or not we're wanted. Because like you're saying, there could be a 9-month-old baby that a mom decides they are not wanted, they want to move forward with an abortion, and doctors will happily do that. And that is, in some states like Massachusetts, your right to do that. But then you could have a baby at 24, 25 weeks, and if their parent wants them, that NICU is going to do everything that they can to make sure that that baby lives. And I just think it's a very, very unfortunate and incorrect standard to tie our human dignity and our worth to whether or not we're wanted.
And also, we should add to this, the laws sometimes are very difficult and stringent and maybe even expensive when it comes to adoption. So it's like, here you got all these parents, would-be parents, that want to adopt babies on the one hand, and on the other hand, you have all these babies that are being earmarked for abortion, even up to the moment of birth. It's just, it's incongruous.
I would say, Jerry, that's something I like to bring up whenever people are concerned about the birth rate and the numbers are dropping and we're not at replacement level. I always point to the fact that we are aborting over, I think at this point, it's 1.1 million babies a year in America. So for anybody who's concerned about the birth rate, I think we should look at that and start there, that we have tons of pregnancies and tons of babies that are already here, and we need to be doing more to fight to save them.
Okay. So, by the way, the number of states that have signed this kind of law of abortion up to the moment of birth, some of it's almost surprising, but they are Alaska, Colorado, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, and Vermont. Well, Oregon and Vermont, they don't surprise me, but some of these do surprise me a little bit. Alaska, I mean, don't they even have a Republican senator of sorts?
They do. Alaska has two Republican senators, and arguably one of them is Lisa Murkowski. And many say she's not conservative enough to be representative of Alaskans. So I am often surprised by states that pass this kind of legislation. But I do believe a lot of it is misinformation, like I said, where people think they need this health care in case their life is at risk. But it's just important for pro-life individuals and doctors to kind of push back against that false narrative.
All right. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. HumanCoalition.org. Thank you, Claire. All the best.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Jerry.